Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Welcome to the Rosecast, the number one Bachelor recap podcast hosted by a male interracial best friend duo in the United States, Central Time Zone. They got to get rid of time zones, AB. I was reading some stuff about that. There's too many time zones in America. What's the point? Well, the point is like farmers and shit. Do you know how many time zones China has?
How many? One?
One. They have one time zone.
What's the point? What are we doing here?
Tired of it. Get rid of the time zones. If Trump gets rid of the time zones, it's all, we're back to square one. We're even.
And gets the balls out of prison, of course.
Well, yeah, we'll talk about that on another podcast, The Rimcast. I'm your host, Tim Kennedy Jr. With me, as always, Alex W. Bradford, AB. How's it going, man?
It's going great. Going great.
Excited to be back in the Bachelor game.
Yeah, I just finished watching the first episode. Loved it.
Well, the first episode, now for new listeners, and we expect there to be thousands, don't know why, but we expect that always every time we record, it keeps us going. As a thank you to our loyal Rosecast Nation listeners, we're going back in time. I'm going to put the Back to the Future, some Back to the Future sound in right here. This is a reminder for me to do that. We're going back in time to recap Emily Maynard's season of The Bachelorette, which features our next Bachelor, Ari Lyandike, which I spelled out phonetically in my notes because God knows I don't know how to spell his last name for real. Ari Lyandike Jr. Shout out to dudes named after their dads. We're recapping her season one episode at a time on Tuesdays and Thursdays, barring injury, illness, or some other calamity. And AB has a 2-year-old, so you never know when he'll be under the weather with like some Oregon Trail type illness. The mumps or
dysentery.
Something. Dysentery, yeah. Today, we're talking episode one, which AB just watched, where we meet Emily. We meet the guys. Probably going to roast their suits. The monochromatic thing was still going on in 2012, and there a lot of guys had, like, they'd wear a suit, and then they'd wear the same color tie as the suit, and then some bright shirt underneath. It's amazing how much fashion changes in 5 years.
The things I noticed about the fashion, Rim, was number one, only one person was wearing a skinny, cool tie, a current day cool tie. And it was Chris Harrison, the legend.
I was going to say,
fashion icon.
Chris was the only one who's like ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
When it comes to the cut.
It was super slim fit. Shit was looked real nice on Chris. Everyone else had these baggy suits. Oh. A couple guys had like wrinkly suits. Fashion wasn't really what it was about. And they had ties.
Yes. Some of the ties were outrageous. And if you want to take it a step further into me being like a snob about it, which is crazy when you see how I dress, how could Rim be a snob? A lot of guys, they tied their ties very poorly. They're knots were a joke. I'm a tie knot connoisseur, and very few of these guys had a power dimple. If I'm the Bachelorette and you roll up and you don't have a power dimple on your tie, that's like you're not getting a rose on night one, period. I don't care who you are, how good you look. Anyway, well, our goal is to shoot for a half hour on these recap episodes because we're talking about a TV show that's 5 years old now. But you know how Remini B gets sometimes. It's already been 4 minutes and we haven't even got to the show yet. So,
all right. Hey, can I touch on something else, Rem?
Yeah,
real
go
quick?
Ahead.
First thing I noticed when I turned the show, how did we as humans watch non-HD TV? This shit is trash quality. How did we as a public, as a people, allow it to not be HD for so long? I don't even understand how I watch this.
I'm so with the AB, and I'm almost positive that it's on ABC.com. But I should have mentioned that if you're new to the show and you want to follow along, we'll post the link. All the episodes are on ABC.com. I'm pretty sure they like cleaned these up. From
this
what
is
they
better
used to
than
be.
What we
this when is the it best possible. Yeah,
actually aired.
Yeah.
Oh my god! It's
imagine
bad.
In sports too. You go back and you watch sports in non-HD. It's like how? Why did people even like football? I don't understand.
How did
you can't
you
see
even
anything.
See who is who?
It's crazy, crazy. We'll save that for a whole other pod. We're gonna start another vertical in the 8 Screens Empire called like how did people do this 10 years ago? This isn't even that long ago. We're talking 5 years.
Yeah, it wasn't even long.
All right, let's get to know Emily a little bit. The intro, I now you've watched this season before, correct?
Yes.
I have not. Longtime listeners know that I'm relatively new to the Bachelor game, so I've never seen any of these episodes. I didn't know who Emily was. We're in her hometown of Charlotte, North Carolina. You told me this probably 5 or 10 times, and I still forgot it. I was still shocked when she revealed it, but she has a 6 or 7-year-old daughter named Ricky. Named, of course, after legendary talk show host Ricky Lake. What I didn't know...
That's not true at all.
What I didn't know, Charlotte's own Ricky Lake. What I didn't know is that her former fiancé, and this is by far the most tragic story in the history of this franchise, her former fiancé died in a plane crash... On the way to a race, he was a race car driver. And then that alone is tragic enough. The next day she learned, or the next Friday, she said she learned she was pregnant. Oh, my goodness.
I had completely forgotten about the whole fiance thing. I had forgotten about that. But this, yeah. When she said she found out she was pregnant the Friday after he died. Wow.
Oof.
Wow.
Yeah, that story, that's tragic.
Incredible.
You know, and shout out to her for... putting herself out, like that's a tough thing to tell the world and then still go find love on a TV show. That story, even though she's overcoming her circumstances and raising her daughter beautifully as a single parent, that story does kind of, for a while at least, is a little like dark cloud over everything because Ari, as we know, is also a race car driver. That comes up early on. Very tragic story. I didn't know that was... coming, even though the show's 5 years old. I didn't know. And you've told me that. I'm positive you've told me that a bunch of times, but here we are. She was on Brad's season of The Bachelorette, got quite a way. I was taking notes. I said, well, she got quite a ways on Brad's season.
She
won
got pretty
Brad's
far,
season.
Huh? She got pretty far.
I thought to myself, okay, so she obviously got second, and she's The Bachelorette. No, Brad proposed. She accepted. AB, do we know why they broke up?
No. Here's the thing. I it looked like they broke up before the reunion. Is that kind of what you gathered from it? I don't know. Maybe someone can fill us in.
Well, because she revealed it on a solo interview with Chris Harrison, Mr. 3008. So that's what it figured to me. It was a quick breakup, which was surprising to me based on the 10-second clips that I saw from the season. I thought Brad was sincere in the engagement. I thought they were really going to make it. I was stunned when they broke it off. I thought, okay, well, Brad must have died too. There's no way these two didn't make it.
There's no chance.
You wonder, too, if that's part of, you know, I know TMZ and all that was around back then, but even more so now than 5 years ago. We know so much more about these people's lives. Like, if that happened today, we would know every detail about why they broke up. And maybe that's out there, and they just didn't put
it on
the show.
I bet it's out there. Someone can tell. Hit the text line. Give them the text line, Rim.
Oh, God. All right.
someone hit us with what happened to Brad and Emily.
Yeah, I don't want to look it up. And also, this happens this happens every time. AB goes, tell them what the text line is. Rim and I have to look it up. All right, here it is. Here's the text line number. 773-234-7794. That's the official number for the Rosecast mailbag. So if you got a comment, if you got a question, if we don't know what we're talking about and you want to correct us, that's where you hit us up. So anyway, yeah, this intro got me. I like Emily. No bones about it. She does have the classic bachelorette look. I'll say that people, outsiders who don't watch a show and roll their eyes, they say like, well, that's, they all look like Barbie. Emily does kind of have that, that look. She rides horses. I'm in on Emily, and I'm in on her keeping it in Charlotte, AB.
She's that Southern, she's got that Southern feel to her that is real nice.
Wait till you get to episode two. It's possibly the most highfalutin Southern situation, the most highfalutin Southern date you'll ever see. Let's move on to some of the background of these guys. We're gonna gloss, just so you know how this is gonna go. We're not gonna do an hour and 20 minute episodes on these shows. We're gonna gloss over a lot of the stuff that isn't Ari, Emily, or fashion related, or Chris Harrison related.
Or super funny. Just super funny stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Like we're not gonna break down every Tom, Dick, and Harry these guys too. There's a lot of like clones, I'll call them, on here.
A lot of white people out here, Rim.
Well, I'll tell you what, AB, even more than I expected.
A lot of white people. White guys hanging out around here.
I mean, I know the show's gotten better, and you've told me the show's gotten better, but I thought we were talking, like, since 2003.
No, nope.
This is an appalling level of whiteness.
Would you say
on this show
there may be one black guy? I'm not positive what one of...
Oh, yes, I got it all written down. Don't worry about it. There was one guy. There was one black guy, Lerone. He didn't get a rose first night. Spoiler alert.
Oh, he didn't? Okay. And,
no, he didn't. So there's no black guys. This is of episode two. There are no black guys. There's a guy from Brazil who lives in Minneapolis, and then a guy from, I didn't catch where he was from, but his name's like Alejandro.
Colombia,
that's
one
right.
One of them's Colombia. One of them's from Brazil. The two different minorities.
Anyway, let's run down. First guy that we get to know a little bit, Kalen, the villain, and I love it, AB. I love his
instant villain.
Oh my goodness. his thing was like, I used to be a douche, but I'm not a douche anymore. I'm ready to not be a douche. And he's like 26.
He's sitting in a suit in like a gigantic business office.
Oh yeah, the guy in the $1,500 suit is going to hold the door for the guy who doesn't make that in 3 months. The rest of development. Kalen, luxury brand consultant. Not a lot of, no disrespect if any of you dudes out there are named Kalen, not a lot of K-A-L-O-N's that are like normal, regular dudes. You're probably going to be a little on the weird side. Next up, Ryan, former football player, now a trainer.
Hey, hold up, Rim. Yeah. Kalen, you think he's a douchebag now? It gets even worse. Let me tell you that right
now. Folks.
It only gets worse.
There's a lot of people out there who are probably listening that are listening because the chemistry here is undeniable and irresistible, and they're not watching along with us. Folks, Kalen pulls an all-time entrance move. Mm-hmm. Next up, Ryan, football player. I said, got a good body, got a crap haircut. That's all there is to it. From Georgia. He's every football player from Georgia, I'll put it that way. Tony buys and sells lumber. Tough act to follow for Tony, coming after the super rich guy and then the former NFL player, and then they show Tony just like, pretty good piece of wood right there at a lumber yard at your local Menards.
He's a dad, though. Give him the one up for that.
Yes. Yeah. You know, in this show, longtime listeners know, we kind of give a little side eye to the parents who are on the show. But in this scenario, when the object of their desire is a single parent, I am a little more lenient on the contestants who are parents because they have something to connect over. It's a little, you kind of feel like, oh, okay, well, they really just want to find love. I don't know why. That's probably wrong and very inconsistent, but that's the way I think.
I'm with you. Same way. I feel like it gives them the leg up in these situations.
Absolutely. And we saw that season with the first impression rose. Next up, Lerone. He's the black guy. That's all I got on Lerone. 29, good looking dude. I had a feeling when he came on the screen that we weren't going to be seeing much of Lerone. David, singer-songwriter, braggadocious. What did you have on David's singing ability? I thought he was terrible.
Trash singer. I don't know is this a joke that he's a singer?
If I were going to, when he started singing, I was like, is this a gag? Is he actually a comedian?
Is this a fucking gimmick? He has a bad look and he's bad at singing.
His song was literally, Emily, Emily. Songwriter, singer, songwriter.
Trash lyrics, trash voice, trash look. End of story. Yep.
Charlie from Nashville, big Nashville guys here, Rimini B. His sob story is that he was on a balcony that collapsed and he broke.
He like,
I don't know, was that a laugh? Did you laugh, AB? Because he's got a brain injury, okay?
It was a serious
brain injury.
I was not expecting that story to come.
No. I'll tell you what. Brain injury, that's terrible. I feel bad for him and his family. He overcame it, good for him. But the fact that you almost wonder if it was worth it because he got to go on The Bachelorette and say this line. I may have had a head injury, but there's nothing wrong with my heart. That's a good line, and only he can say that.
Yep.
Jeff with one F from Salt Lake City. Entrepreneur. He looks like his reel looked like every like young guy who's about to go on Shark Tank. You know what I mean? Like he's got the hair, he's got the skateboard, he's got an idea. What'd you make of Jeff?
He's a CEO of a water company, Rim, that's obviously gone bankrupt since this has been filmed. that's clear. We've never heard of this water company, whatever it was.
He obviously spent way too much money on getting like a bus, whatever. He like walked off like a tour bus with the water logo.
He had a water tour bus. That's gone bankrupt. Jeff, I don't know if you remember what I told you about Jeff before the season started, but he's kind of a bachelorette family villain at this point.
That surprises me because I really liked him after this episode.
Yeah. He's been getting dragged on the internet along with Ari. Him and Ari are kind of boys off screen.
Spoiler
since
alert.
Since this season ended.
Speaking of Ari, here he is, man of the hour, Scottsdale, Arizona. Race car driver. He's 30 at the time. He's been in the Indy 500. They don't say this on the show, but his dad was also a kind of a legendary race car driver. This is when he brings up the concern that he has. I know Emily's ex-fiance also raced, and he passed away on the way to a race. Being a race car driver could bring back some painful memories for Emily. First impression, there's more later. I was impressed that he at least thought that, because most of these guys, it's all about, their intros are all about them. There's not a lot of like, here's what I'm thinking about how Emily might perceive me. What'd you make of Ari when we first saw him?
He's awesome. He's a legendary guy.
I liked him too.
love what he came with.
I will say that he's aged in the 5 years since the show. He's aged 10, to put it conservatively.
Couldn't agree more. That was the one thing that really stood out with me as well, is this hair has gotten a lot more gray.
And we're not necessarily ripping the way his hair is gray. He looks fine now, but back then he looked really good, in my opinion. That's what I'm trying to get across here. All right, back in Charlotte for the introductions. AB, they must have really liked Emily to take the show to North Carolina, from Los Angeles to North Carolina for her.
Her story, as we've already touched on, is incredible.
Yes.
It was a can't-miss story.
There was a lot of fluff in this episode if you compare it to episodes now. Like, they show, like, them walking into the mansion, her and Chris. They do a little sit-down in, like, the vampire cave with the fucking candles everywhere. They do an interview. It just seemed kind of weird. I also wanted to mention that 2012 AB, this was the absolute height of the skinny tie hysteria. And you said Chris Harrison had a good one, but wait until we get to later. We see ties of all shapes, sizes, and colors, folks. The main thing we learned here was that Emily more or less wants to be pregnant by the end of the show. More important than being engaged. She really wants some babies out of these guys.
The thing I took away from Chris and Emily talking is kind of like always, it seems like Chris and the Bachelorette would make a better couple than her and any of the other guys.
Of course.
Can we agree?
Yes.
Those two have chemistry like crazy. They have Chris, Rim and AB chemistry.
Yes, Chris, that can be true for almost any bachelorette. Chris is in touch with his feelings and the bachelorette's feelings more than any guy there. He's there. You want to talk about being there for the right reasons. He's not there to further his profile or anything like that or get more Instagram followers. He's got good style. He's been around the block a couple times. Chris Harrison, period, would be a better match for any of these women, AB. You're right on that.
Do you think he'll ever be the bachelor? God, in your lifetime.
We talk about this a lot.
We always want him to be, but if you were to make a guess right now, would you say he will ever be? Because it's got to be in the next 10 years if it's going to.
Well, yeah, he's like 40-some, right? He's got to be.
Yeah.
I would guess that if the popularity of this show wanes a little bit and they do a thing where like, all right, next season's the last season, then he would do it. Because at that point, they don't have anything to lose. I also think it'd be the biggest ratings way to go out. But I also wonder if the popularity of the show will ever wane. I mean, it might just be like the NBA. It might just continue to increase for eternity. I don't know. All right. Well, hey, speaking of Chris, let the journey begin. That's my Chris impression. I didn't change my voice in any way. It was more of a physical impression, which doesn't work for an audio medium, but we'll keep it moving. I like this mansion, AB, but the driveway situation stinks because they don't have a long walk. It's just right from the door to the stairs.
Quick.
Speaking of quick, let's run through these knobs. Vast majority of these guys are knobs. Nice guys, but knobs. Sean.
Big Daddy fucking Smooth.
Big Daddy Smooth? What are you talking about? Sean? I don't even remember what this guy looks like. What did he do that caught your eye?
Big Sean, you dumb?
Oh, Sean. Yeah. Sorry.
The best bachelor of all time, my favorite person ever to be on the show, steps out of the limousine with swag and coolness and super tall. Big Daddy Cool? You kidding me? Don't remember Sean?
I have a feeling the things that Sean has done since affected your perception of
the
interest.
Oh, yeah. When I saw Sean, I'm like, what up, Sean? Had nothing to do with anything he did on the coming out of the fucking limo.
Hand up, that's on me for forgetting him because I follow one Bachelor-related person from my personal Twitter account, and it's Sean because he's a funny, cool guy.
He's way cool.
The thing is, and all these guys were like this, their intros were so short compared to today.
Yeah.
All of them. They were short. Not very creative. It was like, hey, nice to meet you. You look beautiful. All right, I'll talk to you inside. And that was it for almost all of them. David, no tie, real loose jacket. Lapels reminded me of the time Michael Scott bought a women's suit on accident. Real skinny lapels.
Here's what he asked coming out of the limo.
Oh, this
rim.
Is so dumb.
He goes, who chose Charlotte? It's like, okay, you moron. Did you do no research before you fucking stepped out of that limo? Come on. Worst out of the limo line of all time. And there's been thousands of bad lines.
Was that your call? Charlotte?
Who the fuck you think? The girl that lives in Charlotte with a kid? Or do you think it was Chris Harrison wanting to be in Charlotte? No.
And he said it like it was an inconvenience for him to have to go all the way there. All right. Here comes Doug. He's got an 11-year-old son, and I thought they instantly bonded over their kids.
Instant kid connection. Yep.
Yeah, that was good. Jackson, fitness model, had that in quotes. Pink shirt, pink tie. Wouldn't you believe it? He wasn't the only guy with that combo. Mm-hmm. You said worst opening line from David. Jackson got down on one knee and he gave you the old like motivational poster line. Life isn't measured by the number of breaths we take, but by the number of moments that take our breath away. Jackson, that moment took my breath away because I gasped, buddy. It was that bad. Bad
intro.
Sucked
the air out of the room.
Yeah. Took everybody's breath away. Next up, Joe. Joe's got a real bad hairline. He brought a lot of energy, but the hairline looked like one half of McDonald's arch. I felt bad for the
guy. It's hard to come back from that. It's hard to come back from that hairline. It's an unforgivable hairline.
And the hairline itself wasn't necessarily that bad, but the hairstyle was not a good match for the hairline.
Nope.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If. Only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Ari comes out looking good. He looks good, AB. But I will say that his tie was one of the skinniest I've ever seen. It was barely wider than the buttons on his shirt. But he's got a good look, and she kind of lingered looking at him. Do you have anything special about Ari's intro?
Nope. Nothing special.
Keep it moving. Kyle says she looks beautiful. Chris, seen the guy look like Chris a million times.
Yeah, I got the feeling I know. I remember Chris from something. I don't know if he was on another season of Bachelor in Paradise or if he just reminds me of another dude on this show. He looks like about 10 other guys I can think of.
Yeah. Chris definitely gave me that familiar feeling watching him. Aaron, biology teacher, did you think those glasses were real or do you think they're fake?
I was confused by what he was doing with those glasses. Because he immediately took them off. Was he acting like he's a dork because he's a biology and chemistry teacher? Is that what he's going for?
That's what I thought. But then he was like wearing them later. I don't understand. Aaron, that's a nobody. Alessandro kisses both of her cheeks kind of aggressively.
That's how we do it in Brazil, though. That's it.
No, she goes, that's how we do it back home. And she goes, oh, where are you from? And he goes, Brazil, like with a Missouri accent. I didn't understand. I didn't buy it. I said the whole act was fake. Call me xenophobic, but I didn't buy it. Next up, Jeff. What'd you make of Jeff's entrance, AB?
Coasting on that skateboard in the back of the limo. Whoa. Mr. Fucking cool.
God, he's cool.
I'll tell you what, that reminded me of Rim. There was some video game that I used to play, and you could grab onto the back of cars, and it was a racing game, and you were on a skateboard, and you could grab on and just ride with the cars. And it was called something. That act of doing that, of holding onto a car and getting dragged along, is called something. But I don't remember what it is. God. I need someone to tell me that on the Rosecast line. What that game was, number one, and what that act is that Jeff was doing. Coasting along, grabbing onto a car on a skateboard.
God, dude, I feel like I know what game you're talking about, too. Obviously, the go-to for me is Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future. You used to do that just to get around. And right here, I'm going to put in Huey Lewis in the news. That's the power of love. Yeah, if you know what we're talking about, specifically if you know what game we're talking about, it's 773-234-7794. Or RoseCastES on Twitter, folks. Mm-hmm. All right, let's keep it moving. Jeff is fucking cool. A-plus entrance, I said. Smooth. Here comes Lerone. I think the fact that you're a single mom is one of the most attractive things about you. Here comes Stevie, AB, the group dork, the group kind of dweeb, the guy who grew up getting shoved into lockers and is now overcompensating for it as an adult. Stevie is a party MC, and he definitely has that look. What'd you make of Stevie coming in with the Sony handheld boombox?
Dancer, MC, and entertainer, Rim. And he...
entertainer is good.
He looks the part.
I hope Stevie sticks around for a while. He's going to be a rich source of content for us. Charlie, khaki suit, not quite pulling it off like Obama. Who can?
He had a wrinkled-ass suit, Rim.
It might have been a linen suit. You never know, which would be unacceptable in North Carolina. Tony, here's a dork. The name's Charming. Prince Charming. He's got a glass slipper on a pillow.
It was awkward because then she's like, okay, trash line, but like, what is your actual name? You never told me.
A lot of guys forgot to tell her their names.
I'll tell you what about Emily. You ever seen someone handle a limo night better? She did a really good job. Made them all feel at home. It didn't make anyone look like an idiot, even though most of them were. She handled every encounter, I thought, perfectly.
Yeah, I mean, I can't recall someone handling a limo night poorly, I guess, is my problem. I've only seen JoJo and Rachel, and they both did an okay job.
That's fair.
I can't compare it to anybody else. I'll put it this way. She did a good job, especially when you consider how freaking nervous she was before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She was nervous enough that from the time they finished the interview in the vampire room to the time they got to the front door, Chris had to stop and be like, yo, are you sure you want to do this? Randy. He comes up with it. I was flummoxed by this, Alex. Randy came up in a grandma costume for some reason. Doesn't explain why. No tie, takes off the grandma costume.
No tie, no jacket, just a vest.
What's going on? What's the point?
What's the bit here?
Later on, when they were talking about who was going to get roses, they're like, you think the grandma costume was enough, man? Like, seriously, they're like, yeah. You think that clinched it for you? I don't know. Probably not, I would guess.
I would say it's working against him.
All right. Next up is Nate. And I said that his entrance ended before I could take any notes. Nothing on Nate. Moving on to Brent. 41.
Whoa.
Took me aback a little bit. 15 years older than Emily.
Is Brent the guy with six kids that we find out about later? Six?
Yes, yeah, six. Okay. Six.
That's too many kids for the show.
But if the spin zone, the thing we rag on people is leaving your kids at home to come on this reality show. If you have six kids, chances are one of them or two of them are probably old enough to watch everybody. So it's probably they might not even notice you're gone.
It's too many for him to come on this show. I mean, that's too many for you to win this show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No one's. This ain't the fucking 1978 Brady Bunch, bud. Shout out to the Brady Bunch movie. Underrated ass movie. Very funny. John. All my friends call me Wolf. Can you imagine?
Terrible nickname. Fucking terrible nickname.
Imagine going on this show and be like, I'm Tim, but all my friends call me Big Young Reezy, the dunk machine. Like, what? AKA Rim. Like, what does that mean? Why do they call you Wolf? You know what? I don't want to know. Nice to meet you. Travis? You got anything on Travis? He's carrying an egg. That's kind of cute.
An ostrich egg, Grim. Tell you what, my uncle had an ostrich farm. A little sneak into my life.
Whoa.
You might not have known. Had an ostrich farm. I knew exactly what that egg was when he fucking walked off the limo. I go, that's a fucking ostrich egg if I've ever seen one. I've eaten them. I've seen them. I've done it all with ostriches. Well aware.
Maybe.
Great gimmick, and it worked for me.
I've known you for 20 years, and I had no idea that you knew anything about ostriches, let alone an experience on a
game.
Farm.
Wow. I'm very experienced in ostriches, period. But loved what he did. Loved what he did, but this is a huge mistake, having this ostrich egg. Because
oh, really?
I don't
Why?
Know if you caught what he said. He said he's going to have this egg around for his entire time because it's going to represent how we'll take care of Emily and Ricky.
I don't want
to have a gimmick that you have to carry on for multiple episodes, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Like, think about the people that have had these long-standing gimmicks. Did they ever win? Saint Nick, did he win? He's in his fucking Saint Nick costume for multiple episodes? Mm-mm.
It's a good idea on paper. Because remember in middle school that we had, like, baby think-it-overs? And if your school couldn't afford baby think-it-overs, you just had to take an egg home?
Sure.
Well, I kind of like that bit. It just seemed like, oh, I'm going to be a caring father. Like, he was constantly proving to her that he would be a good father and husband, even when they're not conversing. So I like it. On paper, it's good. But you're right. When it's time to go skydiving, what are you doing with the egg, bug buddy?
What are you doing with the egg? All done.
Next up, Michael. This is the standard token long-haired guy, and Michael is not pulling it off. Michael gave her a guitar pick, which is like, here's a little piece of plastic. You throw this away. Like, that's not.
Can you get rid of this for me?
Yeah. Here, it's a guitar pick. You don't have any pockets, so Just put it off to the side, I guess. Jean-Paul, marine biologist, mixes patterns with his shirt and tie, which I'm fine with, but Jean-Paul did not do successfully. It'd be out on Jean-Paul for that reason alone. Here's our guy, Narcos. Okay, that's... okay, that's not... that's not okay. What I just... The joke I just made is not okay. But he is from Medellin, which I know Narcos. How to pronounce, because of Narcos. That's the joke, okay, for people who haven't seen the show, which is about the notorious drug kingpin, Pablo Escobar. Alejandro from Colombia, now living in San Francisco. What was interesting here is that... Did we skip the Brazilian guy? No, we talked about him. Emily, when the Brazilian guy came up, was like, "Oh, I don't know any Spanish words." And then Alejandro comes up, who's much better looking than the Brazilian guy, and she's like, "Hola, me llamo Emily." She's going down the Spanish with them. All right, here comes Ryan. Here's the other pink shirt, pink tie guy. We get to know Ryan, especially in episode 2. And last but not least, Kaylin. AB, what did Kaylin do that you alluded to earlier?
The man showed up in a helicopter room. The most pretentious thing you could possibly do.
I respect him for it, though. If I could afford to show up on a helicopter, I would.
I mean, say what you want about the guy. It had the guy shook in the house. Half the house almost left because they knew they just had no chance with Mr. Moneybags.
Really shook. That was at a time, too, when the show was like, well, whoever's got the most money, that's someone to really fear in the game.
Yeah.
Now, if that happened now, I think a couple guys would be shook, but most of them would be like, you know, forget this guy. Like, he's a douche. He's not going to fall for a douche. They're like, oh, my God, he's got a helicopter.
My favorite line after he walks in, after getting off the helicopter, he says to him, "I saw you from above. Looked like you were having a little party, a little cute party." Kaylin has been to thousands of way better parties than this party that all these guys have never even experienced anything like it.
Oh, man.
I call them Bruce Wayne, Rem. I don't know about you. I call them Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And just like Bruce Wayne, I liked him. So far, I've seen 2 episodes, and I can tell you, everybody who tries to come at Jeff gets smacked down back to where they belong. Kaylin, excuse me, gets smacked down to where they belong, and like they can't outsmart him.
No,
like Kaylin's like bulletproof to me at this point. We'll see how it ends up, but okay. So that's the entrances. 25 guys total. Let's go quickly, because we're already past a half hour. Quickly to the cocktail party, and we'll focus a little bit on Ari's one-on-one time. A couple things I want to mention. You said earlier Brent has 6 kids. And his go-to line was, "You want to see pictures?" No, she doesn't. She said yes because she's nice. She doesn't want to see pictures of your 6 children.
As soon as you said
she has too many names to remember already tonight. She doesn't want to learn about your kids.
No, not at all. Too many kids for this situation. Too many. Good on you for having 6 kids, but too many for The Bachelor.
What'd you make of Chris giving the custom bobbleheads to her and then acting out a scene?
I'm a bobblehead guy. They could have gone without the scene, though.
The scene was too much, I think.
Scene was a little much.
Anything on Jeff's one-on-one time with Emily, other than that he appears to be the man?
He's the man, and he proves it every time he's on the camera.
Jeff looks very comfortable out there. Almost too comfortable, you think. It's good. He's a natural in this game. Doug, his son wrote Emily a note, which turned out to be a full-page college-ruled letter. Yeah. 500 words, like how much we were on a field trip at the art museum and I got in trouble for running up and down the stairs and my teacher made me write 500 words and that's how long the note it was.
Listen, Doug's gonna lean on this kid thing way too much. It's gonna be the end of him. I can already tell. I don't remember him from when I watched it, but he's gonna lean on the, like, you use the kid thing to get your in, which he did, and it worked. But then you got to get down to you and her. What are you two? Do you have any chemistry? Because it can't just be all about your 2 kids.
It's true. That's true. We've seen it time and time again. Yeah. Wait till next episode, AB. He wanna talk about leaning into it. He's ready to fight anybody that brings it up. Last thing before we get to the RE one-on-one time, Stevie the DJ kept roasting the helicopter guy. This was before he got too drunk, which happens later in the season. But Stevie the DJ keeps roasting the helicopter guy to the group and his face. The DJ guy is probably in the wrong, logically, but I don't mind him mixing things up with the
helicopter
guy.
He's fucking jealous, though, Rim. That's all this is. It's pure jealousy. Yeah. You can tell it on his face. He's so jealous.
That's a good observation, because it's not like I'm speaking for everyone. It's got a tone and a feeling like I don't like that you make a lot of money, because Stevie the DJ and the MC with the Sony handheld Sony thing is he's never gonna have a helicopter. I have a feeling, and he knows that. And that's what bums him out. Let's talk about the RE1 on one time. True gentleman, I thought. AB offers her his jacket.
Yeah.
So far, I'm very impressed. What do you got on Ari's one-on-one time with Emily?
He brings up the race car thing. That was a great move, you know, checking if she's all right, because he was a little nervous about that. Lets her know he's thinking about her feelings before the show even starts. Whoa.
Yeah, first thing. I like that move from him. Her face, though, was not... You could tell she didn't like that.
Well, it hit her by surprise. I think it hit her by surprise.
Yeah, absolutely. But in the end, to kind of talk about a 180, she said, well, that's the only sport I know about, and I have great memories at the racetrack. So it very quickly went from major disadvantage to, like, that's something they could actually connect over, which surprised me.
Yep, I agree.
So I thought Ari looked good. He treated Emily like a true gentleman. Skin looked a little splotchy under the interview lights. I'm going to blame that on Chris Harrison and ABC. The lights were too bright for Ari. But overall, I was impressed. If I were to rank Ari, if I were watching the show in real time, I would have had him in my top three here. Easy.
I agree.
Yep. After the cocktail. First impression, Rose, goes to Doug. Good for him. The letter worked. Big eye contact guy.
Too much eye contact.
Well, we didn't mention this, but when she was reading the letter, he was staring at her reading the letter.
Yeah, it's weird.
A little too much. Look at the letter. Maybe, I don't know. I can't tell you how to handle that situation. But it was staring. No kiss, though, AB. Much tamer in the old days. Would you agree?
I think it just has to do with Emily the Bachelorette more so than the olden days.
Really?
Yeah.
You think it's like respect for your daughter type of situation? Like,
yep, that's exactly what I think. I think there's going to be a lot less kissing this season, honestly.
You know what? Good, because it's become so frequent that the moments are not special, AB.
Yep, I hear you.
I want to feel I can't believe I'm saying this, but I want those moments to feel like, you know, you're watching a movie and you've been teased this whole time, and finally at the end the two characters get together and they share like this romantic moment. I don't want it to be Brian Abasolo like taking Rachel off to a dark and shady corner and being like, get over here. not my brand of kissing. All right, let's run down the rose ceremony. Here's who got roses in order. Chris, bobblehead guy. Football Ryan, helicopter Kalen, race car Ari, obviously.
Duh.
I'll call Charlie Tan Suit Charlie. Okay, we'll leave Tan Suit Charlie. I feel like I've dug a hole with Charlie that the listeners won't forgive me and allow me to get out of. Tan Suit Charlie, cool ass CEO, awesome. Wish I was pals with him. Jeff, Nate, super forgettable. Nothing on Nate. Sean, cool guy I follow on Twitter. Joe. The wannabe funny guy. I noticed something about Joe when he accepted the rose, slurred his words a little bit. All right, it's a long night for Joe. Kyle, another boring guy. Aaron, biology teacher. Alejandro from San Francisco. John, aka Wolf. John's going out in the mid episodes. I can guarantee that. Alessandro, from Brazil. Michael with the long hair. Stevie, the party DJ. Stevie reminded me of Alex from JoJo's season, don't you think? Both in attitude and looks a little bit.
Yeah, I can see that. Yep.
Tony, Italian guy? I don't know. His name's Tony. That's why I put Italian guy. Travis, ostrich egg guy. Travis, kind of broke some unwritten rules when he received the last rose. Like, he made a big deal out of it. It's like, dude, some guys are going home here, and you're showboating. Travis, that struck me the wrong way.
I think you've been there before, Travis.
No roses. I don't know who didn't get roses, and I
don't care.
Don't care at all.
Do not care. Couldn't
care
less.
About the rose, don't care at all. One thing about the rose ceremonies for a five-year-old season is it's not that big a deal. Like, we know who gets the rose. Spoiler alert, like, Ari goes pretty far. Okay, folks? Like, if you haven't seen the season, Ari goes pretty far.
Well, I already said the winner of the show a while ago.
In other episodes.
Rose guest, yeah. So.
Yeah, that's true. We'll say the winner in a few episodes, too, once it becomes obvious. I do know that the 41-year-old guy with 6 kids didn't get a rose. I was roasting him for like a whole paragraph in my notes, and then he started crying, so I feel bad, and I'll just omit that.
Yeah, I felt bad for him. I didn't realize he was 41 either.
Yeah, and then, you know, it's
that
one thing.
50 now.
Yeah.
He's damn near
46. 50. He's 46. Yeah. We don't know the story.
Was
it only
5 years old? When did this air?
2012.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And we don't know, like, his story. Like, his wife could have tried. It's one thing for, like, 25-year-old women to go on the show and not get a rose first night and be like, I'm never going to find love. Like, we'll roast you for that because that's an absurd notion. But 41-year-old guy with 6 kids is screwed, more or less. All right? Like, he's in a much more difficult spot than, you know, beautiful 25-year-old woman. I felt bad about that. We're not even showing him enough respect to give him a name. Is it Brent? I think it was Brent. Oldest Brent in history, by the way. There's no 46-year-old Brents. And then some other dude whose name I don't know, he said, it felt like my heart fell on the floor and got trampled. Met her 10 minutes, you know, talked to her for 2 minutes, met her 3 hours ago. A little extra, buddy. What'd you make on the coming up this season on The Bachelorette? Did you catch that?
Yeah, it looked good. Looked good. I didn't have anything...
Well, see, you're unimpressed because you've seen all
these seasons. I've seen all this stuff. Yeah, so, well, I mean...
I'm excited for them to go to London, AB, and France and see Dolly Parton. I'm excited. Don't fucking tamp down my excitement because you've seen it before.
Sure. It's all good. Let me tell you, it's all good.
Okay.
I was more impressed, Rim, by the... After the show, when it was the guy that got let go and he's like... What'd he say? She missed a chance on this body. She didn't get to see this body.
Did you watch that part?
Was it
Daniel? Was it Daniel? 19-year-old Daniel?
It was basically Daniel. So this guy, this douchebag walks out after he gets let go, and he says something to the effect of, she not only missed out a chance on me in my heart, but she missed out on a chance of my body. And then he starts disrobing Rim. And at first I'm just like, okay, this guy's a fucking scumbag. Then he disrobes Rim. I swear to God, it's the best body I've ever seen. You understand me? This is a one. She missed out on a once in a lifetime opportunity to get that body. You understand?
Right. How did I miss this? I don't know.
You have to go back and watch it.
You know what? I'll tell you what. If I'm ever on the show, I'm going to do that same thing, that same line. Rim, 5'11 and 3/4, 230, pale. AB, one thing I noticed is. They kind of spoil a lot of stuff. Like, you can basically tell who makes a top 6. I think
that was another reason
now.
I don't pay that much attention to those anymore, because if you really pay close attention to those what's going to happen in the rest of the season clips, you're going to spoil the entire season for you. So I don't watch those that close anymore. Especially I'm not trying to see who's in what scene. Like, I'm looking at it kind of with squint, like my squint my eyes a little bit, so I can't really tell who the characters are. But yeah, I don't pay that close attention.
They should blur out the faces because
they should.
Now that ABC and ESPN has an actual fantasy league for this, of course, blur out the whole body. Why not? Now that ABC and ESPN has an actual fantasy league for this, like, they need to go out of their way to
can't have spoilers.
Don't be spoiling it. Okay, so that's all we had on episode 1. About 50 minutes. Way too long. Nuke could have told you this was going to happen. Big shocker. We're going to shoot for closer down to 40 minutes. Tuesdays and Thursdays, season 8, Emily season recap. We'll include the link to the ABC episodes in the episode description. We appreciate you listening, folks. I got to tell you. We would also really appreciate if you spread the word, share it with your pals. And maybe if you have the opportunity on Apple Podcasts to leave a review, Roastcast Nation has been good to us in the Apple Podcast reviews in the past, and we love reading those, so we appreciate that. Also, request. I can't do it because they'll snuff me out. Why don't you Roastcast Nation loyalists make a post on Reddit, okay? And then, you know, we'll upvote it and we'll get it going. There's a lot of people on the Reddit who don't know about it. And I don't want to do it because they'll go, oh, I know this is so, they'll snuff you out on Reddit, AB. It's a intense community and I'm scared of it, to be honest.
I hear you.
So anyway, thanks for listening. Be sure to subscribe and we will talk to you on Tuesday. Thursday. Thursday. We'll talk to you Thursday.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.